With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Follow us again across all social media platforms. He is at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Glad to have you listening on a beautiful day here in the ATL. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Darren Eales will join us, president of our Atlanta United. Mike, we got some questions, and Jason kind of helped us yesterday. Jason Longshore, we're trying to figure some things out with our squad. But, again, until we start to see results, and I think the kind of results that Atlanta United fans are expecting,
right.
You know, there's going to be these questions. But the good news is, and I think Darren alluded to this when we talked to him in 20 minutes, all of this stuff is fixable. It's not like we don't have unfixable things. Everything that we've talked about can be adjusted and fixed. The question is, how soon does that happen? And that's really what I think a lot of United fans are wondering.
And that's the thing. I did a podcast, and by the way, I think it posts later today, and it was kind of fun, by the way. Special time in a boy's life, his first Five Stripes podcast. But we were talking with the guys, Paul and company, met these guys over at the Fifth Third Bank when they played Herediano for the second leg at Kennesaw State. Remember, we did the show up at Twin Peaks?
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, thanks to Paul and the guys, Five Stripe Weekly podcast. It'll hit later today. So we went over to the guy's house, brought some Hey Man Ale, and we just did the podcast. Jason Longshore has also done it, and we were kind of kicking around. And the thing is, we kind of all kind of agreed is we just don't have the history with Frank DeBoer to really know how he's going to do this. I mean, yes, it doesn't look good when you see how his last two professional stops ended in Inter Milan and the Crystal Palace spot. But then he's not the only guy who got fired in those gigs. So it's just a little frustrating because we've seen such an – and we'll talk about this with Darren, but we all know. We've had such an exciting, fun style of soccer, and right now it's just not it. So how long will it take before we get to that? That's the question everybody wants to know, and we'll talk more about it on Wednesday. We'll be at the Gulch, guys, as we get ready for the second leg against Monterrey at Mercedes-Benz.
All right, man. You can also text us at 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Here on Dukes and Bell. Again, if you're just joining us, big news today for our Falcons. And, you know, we talked about it last week. The idea was how to restructure a deal to help the team for Matt Ryan. And they do that. And it's going to help our club, immediately saving, you know, $7 million that you can use this year. And I think this is a good move for our Falcons football team. Now, again, if you're going, okay, great, they got some extra money. What are they going to do with it? Your guess is as good as ours. We have needs. And we've said this. My thought, Mike, was maybe you go address one of these players in free agency. And maybe it's an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. There have been rumors out there about our team doing that. But, you know, again, unless you keep all these draft picks, which the Falcons may, they've got two compensatory picks that they've added. But even if they don't, I still don't know if you can say, all right, in the draft, we're going to address all these needs and we're going to get immediate starters. You hope to do that in the first, second, third round. But there's no guarantee.
Well, I mean, that's what made the 16 draft so good. You know, we went and got out to remind you guys, Keanu and Debo, and then Devondre Campbell in the fourth round. You just need Quinn to do likewise. I just need an offensive lineman to be in part of that mix. That's, I mean, I've been, you know, bellyaching about offensive line for, you know, for 10 years, you know, with this regime. So just hoping that this is one year where there's maybe in the second round. Because, look, there's some unbelievable defensive tackles. You and I have kicked around. We've left nothing off the table. Defensive backs, although if you missed our interview with Daniel Jeremiah, he does not have the corners. He doesn't think corners are worth being picked in the first top, at least the top 20, and we're picking at 14.
Yeah, it was interesting. And even Greedy Williams, who's a guy that was a burner at the combine, you'll hear Daniel Jeremiah coming up in about an hour from now as you'll hear his comments specifically about the dogs. You want to know about Isaac Nada? You want to know about Elijah Holyfield? You also want to know about DeAndre Baker? Stay tuned. 4 o'clock. Right now, though, it's NFL Blitz! Hey!
And notes from around the league. This is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike, what which one of these deals is like, whoa, wow, I can't believe it?
Well, I mean, the Colts have got a lot of money, And I thought the Colts would be major players in the Antonio Brown sweepstakes, but they went and got Devin Funchess. Blech. Meanwhile, Anthony Barr was going to go sign with the Jets, and he realized, wait a minute, that's the Jets. I think I'll just stay here in Minnesota. We'll tell you about some of the bigger ones. But I think the biggest story now is all the news, technically nobody has signed. It's just news of the signings that are going to go down. But I'm just blown away that Le'Veon Bell doesn't have anything concrete to tweet about or talk about right now.
Yeah. Is he going to get signed day one, which is technically tomorrow? I mean, again, a lot of these deals are in place, as Mike just described. You would have thought that there would have been a deal already for Le'Veon
Bell. Well, Antonio Brown kind of hints that Le'Veon Bell has a deal, and I'm not sure if he's going to give us everything out there, but he did say that getting that money, congratulations to Le'Veon for getting that money. By the way, Antonio did shave the blonde mustache, which was a good idea and a bad decision initially. But the Packers, the Bills, the Ravens, Texans, Colts and Jets have maybe cooled, but those are the six teams, according to Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, that were really looking seriously at Le'Veon Bell.
All right, the Honey Badger deal, Tyrann Mathieu, is interesting.
It's a good contract for both him and team.
Well, 3 years, $42 million deal. Here's the thing, though. His per-year average as a safety is about 14, okay? There were some reports it was 12. It's about 14. Eric Berry is there, but Eric Berry has not been able to be healthy. And as I alluded to, he's guaranteed $7 million Saturday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to happen. It's just like the Vic Beasley deal. If he's on the team by this date, the money then becomes guaranteed. That doesn't mean maybe they move on from Eric Berry, but there might be some restructuring now that they've signed Tyrann Mathieu. Or, Mike, they simply move on from Eric Berry. Atlanta boy went to Tennessee and obviously has had a great career, but the injuries have slowed him down over the last few years. Here's what I'm getting to, guys. The reason why I bring up the Mathieu contract and the other guy is linebacker C.J. Mosley with the Jets. He's an inside linebacker. These guys are, in essence, what our guys are going to get with a little bit of a bump. And we're talking about Debo, which is, Keanu Neal, our safety, and obviously our middle linebacker. Those two markets have been reset, and it's a lot more. Safeties are getting paid like corners right now.
Yeah, and it was a big safety market. You know, we talk about Landon Collins. He's not really considered a cover guy. Mathieu is an insurance policy, but also him and Berry can work well, and Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger, you can use him in almost any setting. You know, he can cover guys in the nickel. He can do it all. But getting back to Keanu and Debo, take what these guys are all getting and add 5%. It's going to be more. I mean, yes, you're right. Reset plus whatever the salary cap, and we presume that with a TV package and everything else, the salary cap will also jump at least $5 to $8 million next year.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. Mosley, 17 per year. That's Debo.
Yeah. And that's also now, it's almost like that's what elite pass rushers' money
that's right.
you're getting. So it's all about how Matt moves his money. Now, Matt has, well, all Matt's done is gotten paid earlier on his contract, but it frees up cap space. Can Julio do the same? You've already laid it out how Julio's deal, and I'm imagine we're going to get the details on that. Don't you think sooner than later? Because don't you want to have more space for things you want to do in free agency? I know we're never going to be big spenders, but don't you want to have the max dollars available? Or you feel the Julio deal will come before camp?
I thought it might be before free agency with the hope to have additional cash to maybe be available.
Right.
Even if you didn't spend it. You just had it, and if something came along that you wanted, you go, okay, you know what? We've got enough. In essence, guys, the Julio deal will save you $4 to $5 million of cap space. And this sounds crazy, but this is why teams want to do long-term deals, because it lessens the cap hit. And by lowering his base salary, it helps the team. That is what really we're talking about with Julio. So even though the guaranteed money is going to be like, whoa, like it was with Antonio Brown, for a guy his age, it's still going to help the team. This is also what they're hoping with our man Grady Jarrett, but that hasn't happened either, Mike. So,
and that's why, guys, you really, and we don't want to see him getting hit with the franchise tag. We want to see a deal in place for Grady, which can do all the things Carl just laid out for Matt and Julio's deal to give you some more flexibility down the road. It's good news for the Falcons. You wish the Bravos had this kind of a flexible spending and actually used it. But now, as far as exactly. the Falcons, what are we going to do, man? I'd love to keep, and we talked about this earlier, you know, Justin Houston is a guy I would love to have on this roster. We talked a lot about, Bruce Irvin. I think Bruce Irvin's better than, even he's older, I think he's better than Beasley right now getting after the quarterback.
What did Justin Houston make last year, Bo? Just out of curiosity, what was his salary? What did the Chiefs walk away from?
Because he is 30 now, right?
Yes, he is.
So, I mean, that's another thing. You're not going to, guys, hit us up already on social media. Put him up, C. Dukes is Carl. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. We're at Dukes and Bell 929. What's the number?
Last year he made 14.7 with 15 total cash because he had a workout bonus. He was set to make around 15 this year as well until they cut him.
So he's older. I don't know what he's expecting. Wouldn't you rather give him $12 or $13 million as opposed to Vic Beasley?
No, Mike, I would. That's where I'm going.
Hand in the dirt.
That's where I'm going.
Go get the quarterback.
If you told me I could do an even exchange, you know, at the store where I go in, I don't like this item, and I want to do an even exchange, then I would do that for that amount of money. I'm talking 12.8. I can't pay Justin Houston $15 million.
No.
But I can pay him 12. I could pay him 12.8 if that was an even exchange. But we know that probably is not going to happen.
Like I said, guys, we've said it 1,000 times. If you're new to the show and you're a big Falcons fan, if Dan can unlock the mystery that is Vic Beasley and getting that pass rush back where it needs to be, we'll all take the mea culpa and say, hey, man, we were wrong. But there's nothing in the last 2 seasons to see that we're going to see this big, gigantic turnaround in his career, man.
It is our NFL Blitz.
Hey, man, I see Mark Ingram cut loose by the Saints as they go with Latavius Murray. I saw, so they're going to use him. Ingram hitting that magic number. It's the movie Logan's Run, Carl. He's 29. He'll be 30 at the end of next season. But it's amazing, a guy that was a nice combination workhorse, and then later on didn't have to do as much with Kamara there. But it kind of makes sense because Kamara made him expendable. Just go get another workhorse guy to be a first down and second down run back.
Well, listen, I think Kamara made him expendable in the first 4 games he missed, where the Saints went, we're not missing a beat. And we've got a guy. I don't know if teams saw Alvin Kamara as a guy that could tote the rock as much as he has and even see the ball as much as he has. If you look at the Saints' breakdown of how many balls go his way, this was an easy decision.
Right.
You don't have to even think about this twice. You go, all right, Ingram, we missed you for 4 games to start the season with that suspension, and we're watching the tape like it's not a big deal. Kamara is the guy now. So you've got your go-to back out of the backfield as well, and you've got your wide out, Mike. What are the Saints missing? Their defense is young and going to get better. We said this. They are still, guys, unfortunately, the team to beat in our division. Now, we can do it. We should have beat them at Mercedes-Benz, and we were in the game down there last season. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there. Moving forward with what they have still in place, even though they don't have the draft ability that we do. They don't have a first, a third, or fourth, I believe. They do have a second-round pick, I want to say, or maybe a fourth round. I may have gotten that backwards, Mike. Either way, they do not have a first-round pick this year because they used all that stuff to make trades last year.
Well, certainly, if you're the Saints, I think you could argue you want to try to maybe find something, maybe through the draft. Again, what limited picks they do have is somebody to kind of, help you out with Michael Thomas. Somebody on the opposite end. They've got other receivers out there, but, a real game, a difference maker, a game breaker to go along with Thomas. I think that's what Sean Payton wants.
Right.
Latavius Murray is cheaper than Ingram. And again, he tote the mail. He'd be the short yardage guy too. So you're still going to get the same bang for less buck than you were going to be paying Mark Ingram.
The Ingram thing is interesting though. Hey, did you see what Tack tweeted out? I wanted to put this out there too. Tack McKinley, guys, by the way, Falcon fan, says he will cut his dreads off if he's not a double-digit sack guy. Okay.
All right. I mean, I don't know what he looks like without his dreads, but that's a bold prediction here. That is a bold prediction, Cotton. Let's see how it works out for him.
Listen, get to work. I'm all for it. All right? I don't want to see you get your dreads cut off. I would prefer us to get 11, 12 sacks, and we're talking about, what could have been. But whatever motivates these guys, man, if it's about getting your dreads cut off, so be it. If you told me, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to eat that or whatever it might be, whatever motivates you. All I know is I need Tack and Vic to get after it this season.
Right. And by the way, I apologize. I was looking back on the Saints numbers. Michael Thomas, obviously go-to guy, Kamara. But then you're talking still about like an aging Ted Ginn, Traquan Smith, inconsistent. They're trying to, they want to find one more wide receiver for that. That's what they're going to. I was surprised they might not have kicked the tires on a guy like Funchess. But they don't. You always say, how did the Saints come up with the money? They always find a way. But I would just think another physical compliment at wide receiver to what they've got there with Michael Thomas is the last thing. This is one more thing Peyton wants.
Now, as far as quarterbacks are concerned, the big piece this offseason was Nick Foles. Well, we now know he's going to Jacksonville, and that happened yesterday. The word came out. And so, Mike, when you start talking about, okay, what other quarterbacks are out there, I think moving forward, unless there's another trade like there was with Case Keenum, right? You're not going to see this in the NFL. You're going to see teams now drafting for their future quarterbacks. But Foles to the Jaguars, how much better does he make them? I know some people say they overpaid for him. It's what happens in free agency, and especially at that position.
Well, the backup quarterback getting too much money and not having the track record. Scott Mitchell was the first one years ago back in the 90s with the Lions. Remember, we talked to Dan Marino about that at the Super Bowl. But, I mean, there's a lot of guys like Matt Castle. Remember, everyone thought Matt? Steve with Garoppolo. Now they're paying Garoppolo a lot of money with the 49ers. Nick Foles is the one guy who had a Flacco-like run and put up big numbers and has a winning record in the playoffs. So, I mean, that's undeniable. And he didn't do anything to really hurt you. He threw a pick. Drew Brees threw some picks in that game that they lost in New Orleans.
T-Sizzle, Suggs headed to the Cardinals. We talked about that. And, you know, the thing is, if you looked at this Trey Flowers deal, Mike and I both said, okay, Patriots weren't going to do that. 5 years, $90 million, $55 million in guarantees. That's why the Patriots let him go.
Yeah. And certainly, you know, Matt Patricia, he's going to take guys he's familiar with. But this is a guy that fits in that Patriots role. To give him that kind of money, to expect those results in Detroit, you're not going to get it. They also signed Danny Amendola. What was he, like 60? They signed Amendola, who's on a one-year deal with the Dolphins. Actually, a multi-year deal. The Dolphins were not going to pay him anymore. So he lands in Detroit as well.
Hey, also one last thing. Falcons announced that they'll be playing the Broncos 2019 Pro Football Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. That's going to be August 1st. Dan Quinn quoted as saying, "We're fired up to kick off the NFL's 100th season." Now, if you guys remember the Super Bowl commercials, this was my favorite by far. And if you saw it, it was really a promo to promote the 100th season of the NFL with all the former and current NFL stars in it. But Dan Quinn saying that we're honored to play in Canton and to be a part of the celebration for all of the inductees.
As we said, guys, if you're a Tony Gonzalez fan, if you're a Champ Bailey fan, you know, if you've never been, I've been since they remodeled it. It's a great time, you know. The field, was it last year or 2 years ago where they had the issues with the field? They had to cancel the game, so hopefully I would imagine by now they've gotten that straightened out. But Dan's saying all the right things. We know personally that teams do not like to play that extra week. Unless you really want to evaluate, Carl, you got an extra week to evaluate all these dudes. And there'll be a lot of dudes. It's a big bus ride from the airport. You got 100 guys in uniform for that game.
Yeah, because you're not trying to play any of your stars.
Yeah, 16 was the year that the field was all screwed up. They had to cancel the game.
Darren Eales, guys, is set to join us next. United fans, stay right there. Hopefully we get all of our questions answered with the president of our Atlanta United next on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. You know, I wish we could talk to Atlanta United president Darren Eales face-to-face. I really wish we could get him on the show to tell him how we feel as Darren Eales is here.
Hey, man.
Afternoon, chaps.
El Jefe, the boss.
What's going on, Darren? And I got to start by saying this to United fans. Darren has been on our program since the inception of Atlanta United. We've grown with him as we've talked about our club. He's never once said to us, "Don't ask me this. I don't want to talk about this." Unlike some general managers, okay? And I'm just telling you, so what we're about to say, none of this has been, we haven't been told not to ask him anything. There's some things going on with our club. And I want to start by saying that Frank DeBoer has apologized for calling fans spoiled. If you missed this, and Mike, we talked a little bit about this. Listen, I get where Frank's coming from. I understand what he was trying to say, but the way that it came out, it rubbed some people the wrong way. So Atlanta United manager Frank DeBoer today apologized for describing the team's supporters as spoiled after the 1-1 draw against Cincinnati. What'd you think?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think this is a classic case of someone speaking in their fourth language. He didn't mean it sort of pejoratively. He was just actually, the question that he was asked was, had the word spoiled in. So what he meant was, which is absolutely right, our fans have got used to success and therefore there's going to be high expectations. So we're not shying away from that. We know that. It's the great thing about this city. Look, I love the fact that we've got so much discussion and so much excitement. We're only two games into our MLS season. I mean, I think it shows why this city is so wonderful, why it's a soccer city, because everybody's got a view and soccer's a game of opinions. That's the great thing about it. But I do think, you know, from Frank's perspective, that was a little bit where it was just taken out of context and it sort of got a life of its own.
Right. We told Darren in the hallway here before the interview, we said, "You're big time now, baby. You're getting as much heat as the Falcons or the Braves." So what about the pace? And we understood, I've tried to explain to some fans who are new to the game, that moving Miggy to Newcastle was always part of your business model. You talked about that. But how, because Petey is a different type of player, how do we get him more involved and how does that develop?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge. I think there's a couple of things. I think firstly, and I don't think we can forget this, and it was a great learning experience for myself, Champions League. You know, I'm always an optimist. We're talking up about how we've, you know, we'd love to win the Champions League and go to the, you know, the FIFA World Club Championship. But let's be real. The team we're playing in Monterrey, they're unbeaten in Mexico. They've got a wage bill three times ours. And literally when we saw the game the other day, when we, you know, we went there to try and grind a result out to be able to bring it home. But they're bringing Pizarro off the bench, who cost, you know, over 50 million as their sort of first sub. And we have two right backs out, and we just, you know, we're at our bare bones because of a salary cap. So the league's got some questions to ask. If we want to be competitive against Mexican clubs, we have to release the purse strings a bit and have, you know, the ability to get depth in your squad. Otherwise, it's going to just be a, you know, a fluky year where one team does it because they get a lucky run. But what that does do, and, you know, not to give excuses, but we had to play then with a shortened preseason in Champions League in a knockout competition. And let's not forget, when we played in the glorious MLS Cup run and managed to be successful, we played with a back three. It was effective in us grinding out in those games where it's your life's on the line in a knockout. So I do think part of it has been the fact that we had those early games where we'd gone to a three because we felt that was effective in terms of trying to sort of get a result in the knockout stages. And we've had two MLS games in between that. But look, there's no doubt that, you know, what Atlanta stands for, the players know it, the coaches know it, you know, we all know it with our fans, is about trying to be more attacking. So that is the test we have now, is how do we set the team up now to get Pity Martinez, who's, you know, a fantastic player. You don't get called up to be a national team player for Argentina, playing with Messi, Dialba, all of those guys, unless you're a good player. So we've got a great player. But again, he played in the FIFA World Club Championships at Christmas. So he's coming off no
rest
off-season at all, yeah, into a totally new team, and he's a different player from Miggy. So I know no one wants to hear it, but it does take time for that chemistry to gel. But that doesn't mean the players, the coaching staff, all of the club knows that. And look, I think we'll see that. You know, tomorrow's a tough game because Monterrey are a great side. I think, you know, we've got a Philly game on the weekend in front of our amazing fans that we're going to hopefully see a little bit more of that attacking football that we used to. And then the great thing for us is we have a couple of international breaks. We have one international break and then we have our bye week. So we have a chance there to really sort of solve these problems and to get a team that, you know, we would love to watch and see and play. And it's really early. We're only two games in. And let's not forget, last year we lost two home games. I remember the world was ending in summer last year because we lost to KC and Red Bulls. You know, these things happen, but it's about how you react. And I think that's where, you know, the test now for our team is, you know, we've been very lucky. We haven't really had adversity, and now we've got a little bit of adversity. How do we react to it?
We're champions now, and I think the standard has changed, you know, and fair or unfair, I think that's part of this. Darren Eales joining us in studio. It's Dukes and Bell. Darren, I said this to our listeners. I trust you. I trust Carlos Bocanegra. You guys helped put this organization together and the foundation of what it stands for and certainly our attacking style. My question is, how much are you involved with Frank DeBoer, if at all, when you guys start to make these tweaks and talk about maybe how to do things differently so that our players can have the success based on what their skill level is and their skill set?
Yeah, look, I think our job is we're a support mechanism. We're a sounding board for Frank. You know, Frank's the coach and he has total control over the team and how he sets it up and how he wants to play. But obviously we're there for Frank in terms of just being a sounding board to chat through, you know, issues we've had. Because again, he is a coach who's come to this league. He hasn't been in the league before. And I've had this at every team that I've worked at. You know, the fans know the players better than any manager coming in because they've been watching them day in, day out. So you always have a transition period where there's a little bit of an element where the fan base is saying, oh, that's strange. Why is he doing that? Well, partly it's because you've been supporting the club and, you know, we've only been in 2 years in existence. But at Tottenham, you might have been going for 20 years. So you've got a view on the players. But a manager comes in fresh and he'll have his different ideas. And look, they'll see things perhaps the previous manager didn't see. Miles Robinson is playing unbelievably. He got no time under Tata. So, you know, different managers see different things. It's going to take a little bit of time, but, you know, rest assured that this is not something that, you know, any of us are taking lightly. We know that the great thing about it, like I said, is that we have, you know, I'm turning on my radio, I'm hearing different views from fans. That's great because that shows we're relevant in this market, which is what we want to be, and we don't shy away from that.
It is our man, Darren Eales, guys. President of Atlanta United will be live at the Gulch, by the way. Dukes and Bell coming up tomorrow as we get ready for the second leg of the CONCACAF Champions League against Monterrey before we roll to Mercedes-Benz. The thing is that you promised, you did tell us, you want to keep the attacking style. And so for the fans, you know, and I know Jason Longshore was saying, don't read too much into the 3-4-3. There's a flow to things and how it goes. But it just seems, from the free-flowing style, it just seems like it's harder to get shots on goal. We're the most prolific scoring team in the league. Are you saying just be patient with that? That will come in Frank's style?
Yeah, and I think, look, and part of it's personnel as well. So Franco Escobar was MVP of our playoff run, playing in that wide right attacking role. He does his collarbone on the first day of training. So straight away, you've got an issue there where you've lost one of your talented players. So some of it's personnel. But look, we obviously want to be an attacking team. We didn't go and sign Pity Martinez, South American Player of the Year, who's an attacking player. Because, you know, we didn't just hoard the Miguel money and say, right, we'll just shut up shop now. But the reality is he's a different type of player. And his, you know, his fitting in with the team is going to take a little bit of chemistry to build up, and it's going to take a bit of work. But, you know, it's a work in progress. I think that's the reality, and that's what you'll see as the days go on.
As far as our back third, what are you thinking as far as how they've played? We've talked a lot about, you know, Martinez and Barco. What about on the defensive side? What are you thinking and how things have turned out?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think I don't want to sort of target specific players, but I think it's fair to say that, you know, the players as a whole would say, look, you know, without pointing fingers at anyone, it's not been perhaps the level that they've expected coming off the success we had last season. But that's a collective team effort. You know, that's not just one person. I think everybody could point to perhaps a mistake they made or how they can improve it. But, you know, what heartens me and what I think should hearten the fans is, you know, this is a team that's fully committed to, you know, they know that we are defending champions. They know we've got this amazing, passionate fan base that is just an unbelievable support for us. And so they want to do the best for them. And, you know, you can see that in training today in terms of the endeavour and the effort. And no one feels it more than the players and the coaching staff in terms of wanting to turn this around.
It is Darren Eales, guys, president of Atlanta United, with us here in studio. And the thing that we've had to do here on the radio, Darren, and we've talked about it with the listeners, not only do you have the passionate hardcore fans that are part of the Founders Club, been there from day one, you've got all the fans who jumped in on it last year who then go, well, this isn't the United I saw last year. And we've tried to explain. You've got the Champions League. There is a tweak with the style of play. But it's tough when you're at Mercedes-Benz, as it was. You saw it. You're in the building. People just kind of wound up sitting on their hands. So you're telling me be patient. We are going to get back to what we need to do. It's a combination of injuries and just the temperament of the players. Because Brad Guzan said, look, we've got to be better ourselves.
Absolutely. I think, you know, part of it is there's a little bit of a mentality, and I think that's where the fans can really help us because, you know, they've been incredible. And them sort of cheering the team on, lifting them. When we do the Icelandic clap, you can almost feel a sort of energy going through the stadium that lifts to the players. And that's why they're so important. So, you know, that's what we have in our favor, which is great. We've got this unbelievable, passionate fan base that can really lift our players. But look, you know, it's a modern phenomenon, isn't it, where you look back and think everything was rosy the last 2 years. You know, we've sat on this show talking about games against DC United where they parked the bus and we just couldn't find ways to score. These things happen when teams come and sit back like Cincinnati did. Now, that's not an excuse for the performance, but it is a reality that teams are going to do this, so we have to find ways to solve it.
I do want to ask you about the travel. It's Darren Eales, guys. Because, again, I'm not going to make excuses. We're talented enough. You said it. Our coaching staff is, you know, brilliant enough to put things together that we can tactically win these matches. But the schedule has played a role, and I'm not going to deny that. And I want you to talk a little bit about this because the travel involved with playing in CONCACAF and then getting our MLS season started, we've been all over the place. And I don't know if guys are tired. Mike and I have said this. In some instances, we've believed, especially maybe in the second half, guys have looked tired, and I don't know if that's fair or unfair. How do you feel?
No, it is fair, Carl, and it's what we've got to do as a league. I mean, if we want to actually be competitive, we're going to measure ourselves by how we do in CONCACAF Champions League. We have to change the time that we have to prepare because in every preseason around the world, in every other league, you'd have 6 weeks usually for training before the first game. We have a CBA, and at the moment, we have, you know, 4.5 weeks before our first game. It's just not long enough anyway. You add on top of that, then you haven't actually played any league games. You're going straight into the Champions League, which is a tough tournament with travel to, you know, whether it's Costa Rica, Mexico, you know, you could be in Panama, etc. So they have to try and change that to give the teams the best chance. Otherwise, what you're actually saying is, okay, we'll try and do it with a wing and a prayer, but we're just not really setting our teams up for success. Or what we might have to do in future years, if we're fortunate enough to qualify, is to say, actually, we've got to approach this differently. We cannot actually put our eggs into, you know, both baskets. We're going to have to pick one over the other.
Like Toronto. Now, Toronto gets all the way, you know, a game away. And unfortunately, it derailed their MLS season last year.
Exactly. And that's, you know, Mike, you're right. I mean, they actually did do that classic. We're going to focus on the one and it didn't quite pay off. And then it undermined them in the MLS. So it's a difficult situation for all teams. And that's not an excuse. You know, but it's something where I think we've certainly learned from this year, and in the future, we're going to be much better equipped.
We said that, you know, DC, we talked about, Carl, like some just bad luck in years past at the old RFK Stadium and all that. And just then, of course, you said their defensive posture. I just think people have to also understand they're better this year. They might not have the depth that we have, but they built off last year's second half to the playoffs.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, they got a good draw up in Yankee Stadium as well. It was their second game. I mean, they're a good team, and look, that's the reality as well, is we're in a league where, you know, we don't have any divine right to be the champions. You know, it was hard work. It was, you know, a lot of effort, and we have to work harder to do it next year. But other teams are trying to catch us. And, you know, it's the toughest year, as you all know, in sports. It's once you've won a title one time, it's defending it is the hardest thing. And there's a reason why it's very rarely happened in MLS in the past. But, you know, we want to be a team that does that.
Darren Neal's brought to you by Aaron's Guys, perfect for your budget and style with top name brands. If we score four goals tomorrow, you will do what?
If we get through, I will, I'll run.
If we score four goals tomorrow,
you made him blush.
Darren Eales, you will do.
Shave your head.
What? I'll get into the fountains in Centennial Olympic Park.
All right, there you go.
Fair enough.
There you go. That, Easy Eales told us.
Hey, I'm not counting our guys out. I can't. But I know there's some people who are like, listen, the way that we've played, it doesn't feel good. Let's go down to Mercedes and see what happens tomorrow. Mike and I will be in the Gulch getting you guys ready and talking a lot of sports and free agency and all that. Darren, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks. And a quick shout out to the TIFO that the supporters did.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I can retire now that I've actually been in a TIFO.
Pretty cool. If you didn't see the giant folding pages on the book, very cool.
Darren Eales, guys, president of our Atlanta United. Hey, coming up, in case you missed it, with Mike Conti. Next.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Coming up, we're going to talk about the dogs and what Daniel Jeremiah, NFL draft expert, thinks about some of the dog players as part of our dog report at 4 o'clock. And then Alex Anthopoulos, guys, Braves general manager from spring training, joins us. Stay tuned as we'll get the 411 on our Bravos. Right now, though, it's In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
You know, I got into work this morning. Arthur Trist sitting across from me in the bullpen. He goes, "You're not going to believe the story that I'm reading." And he gives it to me. And Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin indicted in some college exam cheating scandal. What?
Full houses.
Aunt Becky?
Yeah, right.
What? Aunt Becky, by the way, I haven't seen her since Full House, which I think went off the air like 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. She looks good?
Different.
She looks okay, though.
She looks good?
Different.
Okay.
Different.
All right.
She married Massimo, the Italian fashion designer.
He's in the indictment, too.
Right.
Felicity Huffman's husband, by the way, not in the indictment. I didn't know she was married to William H. Macy. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Can we be honest before you get into this? Rich folks' problems. Wealthy people problems here.
All right, if your kids are too dumb to get into a major college, you're going to bribe somebody? You can always say, well, you're a Hollywood celebrity. Your kid can't go to community college for 2 years, get his grades up?
That's basically the gist of what's going on here. Is that a lot? I mean, look, we can be coarse and candid here. A lot of rich people are accused of paying off a company to create made-up learning disabilities for their kids to get them additional time to take the SAT and the ACT, and then they would pay off the proctors to make their grades better on the exams.
Yeah,
and then we have instances, and I think it was Lori Loughlin who made a photo to appear that her daughter was on a crew team.
Yes.
And then she sent it to Stanford and USC because I guess the gist of it is if you get into school for athletic reasons,
right,
you have a better chance of getting admitted than through academic reasons.
But she wasn't an athlete.
No. They put her on like one of those things at LA Fitness, you know, that rowing machine.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever that's called.
I was
going
to say she's in a rowboat in one of the canals in Venice, California.
Might as well have been. Might as well. There was one, not a celebrity daughter, but in one of the indictments, it's hilarious. Deadspin has it. It was this young woman who claimed that she was a prospect for Stanford's tennis team. And in the footnote, it says, in fact, the young woman was ranked 2,548th in the state of California with a record of 2-8.
I don't know if that's something you put on the resume. They had some of these actors are trying to get their kids on the water. These are, again, first world problems, Carl. Yachting, the sailing team, water polo, horse race, I mean, the equestrian. These are all types of things that these parents are trying to get fudged.
Rich folks' problems.
Now, it brings up the philosophical question. And by the way, these parents paid an admissions consultant, which is an occupation I would put right up there with aspiring rapper and Instagram model. What the heck does an admissions consultant really do? Oh, I think your son needs better test scores to get into Harvard. You should work on those test scores. Okay, right. Here's $10,000.
Well, in this case, they greased the SAT or the ACT person.
Well, yeah, they were bribing the proctors. Oh, yeah, this guy has a learning disability. Give him unlimited time. Anyhow, it brings up the philosophical question. I was talking to Bo about it back in the bullpen. The three of us are in radio now. Well, the five of us here, if we want to include Craig and Bo. if we knew at our age right now that we would be doing this, would we have gone through the time and effort to go to college?
No.
I would not have.
No.
I would not have. My college degree has done nothing for me to get me here.
I'll tell you this, and I say this to young people all the time, and I'll share this advice. Whatever it is you want to do, get to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stop wasting time. There are tons of people who feel like, if I don't go to school, then I won't be able to get to some point in my life. And that may be true. I mean, you know, if you want to be a doctor, there's no way around that, right?
Yeah.
You got to go through the schooling. But there's so many other career fields where you can get in it, get going, and start doing what you want to do. And people waste time. And then you look up 10 years later and you're like, man, I really didn't need that, to your point.
Yeah. Well, and here's another point. And this is, Bo, I'm inviting you to talk here. Okay, if you have an opportunity to go work for a hedge fund, is it really worth it for you to spend six figures, well into the six figures, to go to Yale when you can go to Kennesaw or, you know, Georgia State, Georgia? You know, these are all good schools, by the way. It's not Ivy League, but they're all very good schools. Major in finance, go work at the same hedge fund.
And
you might be a little bit behind.
Yeah.
But you aren't sidled with $500,000 of student loan debt.
That's what, you know, the Gordon Gekko line from Wall Street is actually something Ivan Boesky said. All these Harvard MBAs are dog blank. Give me a guy who's hungry from the street.
Right.
You know, because all you're doing is playing a craps game, basically, legally, Carl.
We don't have any colleges or universities sponsoring our show,
I hope. No,
because
I will
we're
say
basically
this, no.
talking
now,
kids out of going.
To Carl's point, though, I think you would agree. The same thing. I did 5 years of college just to get the degree to make mom happy because she's a school teacher.
Yeah.
But I got the most I ever got out of anything was a trade school. It was a school called Center for the Media Arts in New York that was kind of like one of these like broadcasting schools.
Right. And if we all had to get real jobs one day, like we all talk on the radio about sports, is that really a job? If we all
Conti.
Trust me, I feel like I work very hard, but it's not like we're digging ditches.
No.
If I had to go out and get a real job one day, then I guess I would be kind of happy that I had a college degree.
Right.
But for doing this,
But I got to tell you,
it's like sales. Either you can BS or you can't. Either you can get gift to gab or you can't. That's the reality of it.
There are a lot of career fields, Conti. Again, I can't tell you that if you want to do coding, that you probably don't need the schooling to do that, okay? But
what's coding?
Computers.
No, I'm kidding. Right?
But I'm just saying, but there are probably, and I'm guessing here, 500 career fields that you don't need to go spend $500,000 on a Yale education.
The best part of all, I mean, it just, the fact that Aunt Becky and Felicity Huffman of Desperate Housewives.
The best part.
That's the best,
it's the
like,
best part.
Of all people to be in a random indictment. Mm. Okay. We have all said things that, you know, it's like halfway out your mouth and you know, oh, God, I know I'm making a mistake, but I'm going to have to complete the sentence and then try to clean it up later. Charlie Casserly on NFL Network said the following yesterday.
Uh-oh.
You should throw the guy the ball more. I tell you what, Dez Bryant, they threw the ball too much to him last year. Get Beasley more involved. I don't know why they can't do that.
Now he's made. I probably should have set that up better, Craig. Let's re-rack that. Charlie Casserly on NFL Network said the following about the Dallas Cowboys yesterday.
You should throw the guy the ball more. I tell you what, Dez Bryant, they threw the ball too much to him last year. Get Beasley more involved. I don't know why they can't do that.
Yeah, Cole Beasley was taking a lot of Cole Beasley's receptions taken away by someone who did not play for the Dallas Cowboys last year.
You know, Amari Cooper, I thought you want to get him the Rocky.
The last time
he was catching passes would have been 2017 for the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, look, we all make mistakes. Charlie Casserly has forgotten more about football than I will ever know. The best part of all about it is as he's making the comment, he's also delivering the opening line of a Little John song. So, like, that was very impressive. Like, what were they saying? Like, what show was that? Like, we're breaking out into, like, some, you know, I don't know, MTV thing or something like that.
Well, a montage has to have music when you're showing highlights of it.
Well, that's a very aggressive beat for a sports highlight program,
Charlie Casserly, too, also.
Right, right, yeah. So, anyhow. In the interest of...
Carl, I wanted some Ghostface Killers.
In the interest of being totally fair, a lot of people got on Stephen A. Smith a week or two ago for making some wildly inaccurate comments himself.
Quite frankly, I think this Haskins is a runner.
Yes. That's not correct, but that is what Stephen A.
Smith
said.
In my mind.
Yeah, right, Stephen. Okay. I love Charlie Casserly. I'm sure he will understand we're having some fun.
But on the heels of his saying that three teams did
he's had a
interviews
bad week.
With Kyler Murray,
he's had a tough week.
Saying not so, Carl.
In case you missed it, brought to you by our friends at Resurgence Orthopedics, guys. From neck to toes, muscles and bones, make sure you get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. I'm taking Trinity there, my daughter who broke her foot.
That's right.
She is going tomorrow morning, as a matter of fact, for a second appointment.
And you don't have to fraudulate her athletic exploits to get her into college.
No, I do not. No. This actually happened while she was performing an amazing dance routine as she fell to the ground. There is video. Mm-hmm. There's proof.
You know, we were talking a lot about should the NFL last week maybe legalize marijuana, or at least not legalize it, but take it off the banned substance. More states are legalizing it, its use around the country. Carl, I've got a tale. It's a scary story for you kids why you shouldn't smoke marijuana.
I can't wait for that. Coming up, the Falcons are making a move on a guard. Find out who it is next on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.